comicbook.com.
Hello, what's up, everybody? Thank you for joining me here on this Friday, January 20th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour or so. We go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Happy to have you with me here as we wrap up another week of tremendous content on Bang the Book Radio. If you've missed anything that we've had here throughout the week, including Brian Leonard, we had Philip Ross and Reich with some great NBA analysis, Chris Stone, a lot of great college basketball stuff, Brad Powers, Ralph Michaels, all of that available over at bangthebook.com. Go to our podcast page. We have full episodes, also have the segments cut down for you if you're in a little bit of a time crunch. We've got two more really strong segments coming your way here to wrap up this week. We'll have Brent with this week's version of the odds report. Brent, of course, from DSI Sportsbook. We chatted with him yesterday about what the action looks like for the conference championship games this weekend. Of course, the NFC championship game, the Packers and the Falcons. AFC championship game, the Steelers and the Patriots. So we got some thoughts from him on where these lines are going to go, what's going on with the betting action, all that type of stuff. So a really strong segment there. And I'm very excited about this one. In the second half of today's show, we'll have Rob Pizzola from Prediction Machine. Really smart, savvy sports betting mind. Prediction Machine, obviously a really, really great tool. We'll explain what that's all about, talk about how they're looking at the two conference championship games here this weekend. Then also on a little bit of a more personal level, chat with Rob about his handicapping, also his NHL handicapping specifically. I know that we had some listeners reach out last week, say that they wanted a little bit more NHL stuff. Rob is an analytics-based guy, so certainly a guy that I would get along with quite well, being an analytics-based guy myself. But we'll be able to chat with him, get some of his thoughts. So really looking forward to that here on today's show. Nice to get some new blood on the broadcast, and hopefully with any luck, we can make this a weekly thing with Rob. So we'll see how today goes, see how things go in the future, but I'm very, very excited about that segment. A few things before we get into our version of the odds report today with Brent. First and foremost, head on over to bangthebook.com. I already talked about the ability to get all of our podcasts, also the segments that are cut down, but we've got sportsbook reviews. Those are obviously very, very important. You want to make sure that you feel comfortable with where you're investing your money. Great customer service, lots of deposit options, easy withdrawals, all of that stuff very, very important to our listeners. So check out those sportsbook reviews. Of course, we recommend DSI Sportsbook, where our Bang the Book Radio listeners can use the promo code BTB Radio to get a $10 free bet just for signing up. No strings attached, basically like a test drive, and then a 50 to 100% deposit bonus based on the amount of your initial deposits. So that's the offer over there at DSI Sportsbook. But check out all those sportsbook reviews. I mean, look, maybe DSI doesn't work for you. Maybe somewhere else does. Maybe you want to be involved at Five Dimes or Bovada, Bookmaker, GT Bets. We have almost all of them, at least all the big names out there in the industry. We have them all reviewed over in our sportsbook section at bangthebook.com. Also deposit bonus codes for all of those other books. So be sure to check that out. You know, variety is the spice of life, and you want to make sure you have more than one book at your disposal, probably three at a minimum, I would say, so that you can shop around for the best prices. So if you're in the market for a new one, check out that sports book review section. We also have a lot of great daily content up over at bangthebook.com. Certainly we have the traditional previews, game breakdowns, picks. Myself and two other gentlemen write those up. We also get some from Charles J, who's a contributor to us from Vietbet Sportsbook. We have daily fantasy stuff for the NBA. We have Doug Carson's system picks and his picks and predictions article. Both of those are always intriguing and fascinating reads. So I'm going to make sure you jump on those. I know that for some people, it can be a little bit of a downtime here because we don't have football going on really anymore. Just the two NFL games this weekend and then the Super Bowl, no more college, but this is a good time of year to get yourself a little bit more familiar with some of these other leagues and some of these other teams. I know football drives the bus in this industry. It's just the nature of the beast, but there are some other opportunities out there if you're looking for them. And that also segues into another really cool thing that we have over at bangthebook.com with all of our matchup data, lots of statistics, tons of trends. We actually have our top trends. You can find those right on the homepage, just kind of sort through and change the leagues and check that stuff out. But there's a ton of information over there at bangthebook.com, and I hope that our listeners out there, obviously we love this show. We love the platform that we have. We love the guests that we have. We love what we're able to do with these broadcasts. But there's also a lot of great information over at our website, bangthebook.com. So please head on over there, check that out. We got free pick videos, all kinds of really, really strong stuff. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at bangthebook. Follow me on Twitter at skatingtripods. If there's anything you ever want to hear about on the show, if you have a guest recommendation, a topic question for any of our guests, any of our handicappers, please feel free to reach out and let us know. We do this show for you guys. You know, you guys listen to our show. You're the reason that we can have this platform. We certainly appreciate each and every one of you. And if there's something you want us to spend some more time on, please, please, please feel free to let us know. So we'll go ahead and get into today's first segment. That is this week's version of the Odds Report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. All right, I'm joined now by Brent for this week's version of the Odds Report. Brent, of course, from DSI Sportsbook. How's it going today, man?
Good. Everything good. Glad to be with you, Adam.
Well, we got just two games to talk about here, but we're going to provide a little bit more context than usual for these two games, beginning with the NFC Championship game. This one between Green Bay and Atlanta. Obviously, everybody's seen what Aaron Rodgers has done here for Green Bay over the last eight games. Had some playoff betting trends with them as well here. But first of all, what's going on with this line for this week?
Well, what's going on with Aaron Rodgers, too? Like, he's just been, I mean, you know, Cam Newton pulling the S on his chest, but Rodgers has been like that. It's just like, it's almost, I mean, let me just qualify. If you don't want Green Bay to win based on the betting position you have in your house, it's just like, he's just insane how good he's playing right now. I mean, he's just, it seems like, you know, they talk about like in baseball and hockey sometimes about seeing things in slow motion or whatever. And like when he scrambles and stuff like that, it's like he's just kind of, it's almost like a leisurely pace when he scrambles. It's like he knows what he's doing and where he's going. And you know, as you know, pretty much the status quo for us and most sports books, I would say, is that you don't often need Green Bay to win based on your wager count and your money and stuff like that. That was the case last week. And as of right now, it's pretty much the same situation. Now we are quite balanced in terms of our actual money, but in terms of our wager count, it's almost like 2-1 in terms of the actual number of bets we've taken, like twice as many bets on Green Bay already.
Well, and that, like you said, that's kind of been a running theme here. Once the Packers got hot and Aaron Rodgers said, "Hey, climb on my back and I'm going to carry you," Green Bay has been a heavy public side here week after week after week, and it certainly seems like, as you were just saying, that's basically the case here again.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's not a bad position for us in terms of money, and that's, I mean, money is basically really all that matters in this situation, obviously. I mean, you know, how much money we got on each side. But as of right now, the money is almost dead even, and that's even, like, when I look at just straight bets, it slightly favors Atlanta, but my wager count, you know, is almost like 2-1 favoring Green Bay. When I factor in parlays and teasers and all that kind of stuff, that's where my money becomes almost dead even, because people are, you know, parlaying and teasing Green Bay on this one. So the money's not bad. The situation isn't too bad in terms of how much money I have on each side, despite the wager count being what it is. I do have, you know, it's one of those games too where I've got sharp action on both sides, but just kind of like different ways. I did get sharp action on Atlanta, you know, -5, -05. I know that line kind of dropped down to 4.5 and back up to 5, but I did take sharp action on Atlanta -5, so that kind of makes us feel a little bit better, and that's why when I look at our actual money, why it slightly favors Atlanta because of the bigger sharp bet. But I mean, cruising over to the money line, that's almost it's almost like 2-1 favoring Green Bay as well, and my money favors Green Bay as well, because I took actually sharp action on Green Bay on the money line. So it's you know, one of those places where I've got, you know, Green Bay +190 from one sharp guy, and I've got Atlanta -5 on the spread from another guy. Even the total, I've actually got sharp action on the total as well. Now I'm going to say that we had sharp action on the under 60. And yet we're still sitting at 61. And again, you tie Green Bay and Atlanta's offense to the over, and that's, you know, the public is all over that. My actual wager count on the number of bets I've taken toward the over is almost like 3-1, you know, just a little over 3-1 actually, which is quite high, because I mean the total of 61 is just crazy. It just kind of feels crazy in terms of how high this number is. Now, if you look back to how these teams played, you know, many, many weeks ago, and they scored like, was it 32, 33, I think Atlanta won that one. So, you know, it's maybe, you know, maybe the number's right, but damn, it sure seems high, and the public's betting all over it, but the sharp action's on the under.
Well, and that's kind of what I expected here, because one of the things that I've talked about this week, and one of the things that's been covered a lot in the sports gambling industry here this week, is that this is one of the highest totals that we've ever had, and the highest in a playoff game since at least 1986. So, when you get uncharted territory like this, then you have to assume sharp players are going to see value on the under, even though I don't know if there's a harder bet to make in the NFL this season than playing the under in this game.
Yeah, well, I mean, just for us, you know, from our personal, our standpoint, from a business. I mean, we've needed the under almost every single game this year. You know, I would say, like, I think last week, in the playoffs and the Pittsburgh KC is one of those games where we actually didn't need the under, but it cashed anyway. But I mean, all the other games went over, and it's never, and that hasn't been a good thing for us with the over cashing. You know, you feel a little bit better that you did take a sharp bet on the under 61, but the fact that we're still at 61 just gives an idea of how much money is just dwarfing the sharp money. Like again, my wager count, it's only about 3-1, but people are just pounding the heck out of this over. And again, the high powered offense with Atlanta, Green Bay, everything they're doing with Rodgers offensively, and the fact that these two teams played already this year and put up 65. So, you know, weather's obviously not going to be a factor in this game. So, you kind of feel like, how high is too high. But obviously, based on the way the action's going right now, the public pounding the heck out of the over and the sharp money under looks like it's the right number. I mean, would I be surprised to see this number move at all because of, big deep pocketed sharp bets? Not at all. It's just such a high number. I just, how do you not bet under? But I wouldn't want to.
Well, we already talked about it with Green Bay that they've gotten a lot of public support here over the last few weeks. What about Atlanta? How did that game set up for you guys last week against Seattle?
Yeah, Atlanta was, again, I mean, earlier in the week, and I think even when we did this show, we actually did have sharp action on Seattle. But then, coming up, day before game time, we took a, sharp action on Atlanta minus the 6. Even when we went to minus 6, minus 15, we took more sharp action. So the sharps did actually come back on Atlanta. And it was one of those games where in the end, we ended up needing the Seahawks and the under. And of course, that didn't pan out very well for us. And, Atlanta, again, teams who put up a lot of points like Atlanta has, and how good their offense has been, and obviously Green Bay, they're always teams that kind of like the public likes to get behind now. I mean, you would talk about these four teams that are left: Green Bay, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, and New England. They're pretty much all been very public teams this year, so it's going to be interesting how this all settles in terms of how when we get to game time. But right now, obviously the public definitely is favoring the Packers more. They're definitely favoring the over more. And like I said, like last week, we did get sharp action back on Atlanta. I ended up needing Seattle, but obviously it didn't pan out that way. The public did generally likes to bet the favorites, and they did in that case as well.
So I guess last question to ask here about this game, and then we'll move on from it. Where do you see this number closing? Do you think you get that late Atlanta sharp action again this week?
I hope so. Yeah, no, I don't. I honestly, it's tough to tell because I've got guys going both ways in terms of the 5 on Atlanta, and then the money line action going the other way with Green Bay. And these teams played such a close game. The last time they played as well. I mean, even at halftime it was a 4-point game, and then Atlanta kind of pulled away and pulled away. They won the second half of that game in terms of winning by one by 1 point. So these teams obviously are very evenly matched, and I wouldn't be surprised at all based on the fact that the money line action on Green Bay, the spread money already on Atlanta, that I wouldn't, if sharps came in both sides of this game, I wouldn't be surprised at all. And it could be all about the number. Like if Atlanta goes to 5.5 or 6, I'm sure sharps would come back at plus 6 on Green Bay. If it dropped back down to 4.5, I wouldn't be surprised if they came back in on Atlanta either.
Well, we'll move to the AFC championship game here then. Two very, very, very public teams in this one between Pittsburgh and New England. New England currently a 6-point favorite out there in the marketplace. What's the story on the side for this game?
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a bad game for us in terms of the fact that people, we seem to always be bombarded one way with New England. Now, I could say the same thing if Pittsburgh was playing somebody else other than New England. So, I mean, Pittsburgh's going to get a lot of public support as well, so that's always good for us. Again, like the other two games with Green Bay and Atlanta, we're pretty even. This game as well, my chart does favor New England, but not quite even 2-1. It's like 1.5-1 in terms of how much money I've taken and the actual number of bets I've taken. Now, talk about the wager count. That's the individual number of bets I've taken. So, I mean, right now both of those do favor New England, which is kind of like no surprise. I mean, the money's almost like twice as much on New England when I look at the parlays and teasers. Then when it's like, then it comes down to like 1.5. So Pittsburgh, we're sitting like right now with as Pittsburgh as a 6-point dog. And again, this is one of those games where I've got sharp action on both sides, and I you know, I say that happily. I mean, maybe your listeners looking for an edge in terms of the sharps pointing them one way or another, maybe not like it as much. But for where we're sitting, it's a good spot for us in that I did take sharp action on the Patriots -5.5, and I did take sharp action on Pittsburgh +6/-0.5 when the initial lines came out. So I've got good two-way action from the sharp guys. But public action definitely is tipping slightly towards New England. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, we get more Pittsburgh money. And again, it's kind of good in these conference championships because you usually get a look at teams who've played each other before. Now, I mean, New England did go in and beat Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh earlier in the season, but that was without Roethlisberger as well. That was Landry Jones at quarterback for them. So it's not, we're not exactly comparing apples to apples either. Gronkowski was in the lineup. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's different in this game compared to the last time they played and, you know, the location on top of that. So right now I got New England -6. Again, like I said, my wager count definitely favors New England. My money favors them about 1.5 times as well. I've got two-way action on both sides of it as well. Total of 51. And again, 51, it just, I don't know. I feel good about this number. It seems like the right number. Pittsburgh, you never know what they're going to do in terms of how many points they're going to put up. They're definitely capable. We opened this game, you know, back on the 15th at 51. It did drop down to like 50.5, and I think even like 50 at one point, back up to 50.5, back up to 51 as well. So we've gotten good two-way action bouncing basically between 51 and 50, so that's a good spot for us as well. When I look at my actual money, it's almost like 2-1 favoring the over. When I look at my wager count, almost twice as much, twice as many wagers on the over as well, but again, that's generally public money driving the over.
So I asked you the same thing that I asked you about Green Bay. What have we seen with Pittsburgh here in their two playoff games? Does that shed any light on what may happen here with the line in this one?
You know, I don't think so, because, you know, even last week, like the Patriot line was like 15.5 and closed like 16.5, you know, and the Pittsburgh line as well at Kansas City, that kind of ping pong, you know, back between the opening number of, you know, Pittsburgh like -1.5 down to KC favored by like 2 and 2.5 at game time. I was still, you know, it's not really a huge number in terms of like being 2.5 or 2, but it does if you're planning on buying the 3. So on like last week, I was sitting at 2 while everyone else was kind of like 2.5. -15 and stuff like that on Kansas City. And again, that was simply because I had more money on Pittsburgh, so we needed KC, and we didn't get that one either. But, you know, I think, you know, we've seen enough from Pittsburgh that they're obviously a team that the public likes, but they're playing another team that the public loves as well. I mean, how can you not like betting the Patriots? All they do is win.
Well, I think another point to ask you here about both of these games is in terms of teaser exposure, because if you're taking the underdog here, you're getting 7, you're getting 10, 11's not necessarily a key number, kind of a quasi-key number, but it's one that people can feel fairly good about. And then, of course, if you're taking the favorites, you're getting them down through 3, 4. Also, you get New England down to a pick 'em, Atlanta into a +1. So have you seen a lot of teaser exposure here this week?
Yeah, but the good thing is that it seems like it's pretty much divided. Now that could be a good thing or a bad thing, because if the number lands and then both sides of the game are cashing, it's you know, it's definitely a risky proposition for you. But I mean, long term, it's just one of the things you kind of have to sweat out and hope one team blows another team out as well. You know, put it this way: if these four games land close to the number, both the side and the total, it's probably not going to be a great result for us. If one of these teams blows out another team, or if the total gets hammered by, you know, like 10 points or whatever, that's not be a bad spot for us. Just going back to the Pittsburgh New England game, I didn't touch on the money line. I just wanted to mention that for your listeners. My wager count is pretty much dead even, but I do have some respectable action that came in on Pittsburgh +235 and +230 as well. So I thought that's worth mentioning. Just for me personally, if that stuff came through, I would be quite tickled pink. I mean, Atlanta and Pittsburgh as a Super Bowl final just seems like a really good game. I know everyone, you know, like New England and Green Bay, how great that would be. But you know, I'm just tired of New England. I'm tired of Green Bay, Adam.
No, it's certainly understandable. I can definitely get that point of view. Last thing I'll ask you about with regards to these two games here, we touched a little bit as we were entering the playoffs on some futures exposure that was out there for the NFL. Did that lead to any sort of line bias here in terms of you guys trying to protect against some of that futures exposure?
No, not really. I mean, in terms of the Super Bowl action, the two, you know, the sharper sides were the Kansas City Chiefs and New England. But again, with New England, the price was so low that you really don't get hurt too bad by it. Before this whole thing started, we also did get some decent action on Pittsburgh. I think it came in like around 9-1, but we took Seattle action as well. That was around 12-1. So that's, you know, not so much. Looking at the AFC as well, I mean, again, New England and Pittsburgh were the two heaviest bet teams, and they actually took sharp action on both of them as well. But again, there was Kansas City action to kind of, you know, knock that back. We also had, you know, a lot of action on Oakland as well, and Denver got quite a bit of action as well during the season. So we're not in a bad spot there. And again, too, looking at this game here, Atlanta's really the only team that hurts as much. Surprisingly, we didn't have as much action on Green Bay. The sharper action actually did come in on Green Bay. We took a ton of public on Dallas, so that was really good for us. And we had a lot of money on Seattle as well. So I think we're in a good position right now, definitely with who's going to win the conference.
I guess one final question, then I'll let you go. I know you got a lot of stuff going on here, is this Pittsburgh-New England game will be the biggest handle of the NFL betting season for you, correct?
Aside from the Super Bowl, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how this compares to the college national championship, because that was just a ton of money on that Clemson-Bama game. So it's going to be interesting to watch. But yeah, with this game being late, you know, the later game as well, coming off at 3:40 Pacific time, it's probably going to be, you know, the heaviest bet game of the season for NFL by far. Looking at my count and my money right now, it definitely looks that way, that they're going to have more money on that game than the Green Bay Atlanta money.
Well, Brent, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us. And no Brent on next week's show, but we will talk to him in a couple weeks in anticipation of Super Bowl 51. So thanks again, man. We'll talk to you then.
Looking forward to it, Adam.
Well, there you go. There's this week's version of the Odds Report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. Some very, very interesting stuff there, and certainly that's exactly what you would expect here as we get into the conference championship portion of the NFL playoffs. Just four teams left standing, and not really a big surprise, but you've got four public teams. Green Bay, obviously on a heater. They've won 8 in a row. Really good offensive team with Aaron Rodgers. Atlanta with Matt Ryan. They've scored a ton of points this year. The public bettors love teams that score points. Pittsburgh, New England, you know, just two of the fixtures that always seem to be there. You know, Tom Brady has been fantastic here throughout the season. So, you know, it's very interesting to see where the public is lining up on those games. It's not really a big surprise to see the public lining up on Green Bay. But then we'll see if the sharp sides wind up coinciding with the public sides. And if so, you know, we'll definitely see some line movement here as we get closer to kickoff. I want to mention a couple of things here while we await our next guest. I am excited for that segment with Rob Pizzola. Want to look at the situational betting articles that I do over at bangthebook.com. I purposely left these out when I was talking about all the things that are going on over there, because obviously, I'm a little bit biased in the sense that I'm the author of these, but this is something that I feel like everybody should do, and I'm glad that I have the opportunity to help you out with it in terms of looking, using the schedule to narrow down the card immediately. And that's something that's really, really important, because a lot of the people we talk to on this show are professional handicappers. They are guys that can dedicate 12, 14, 15 hours a day, if necessary, to handicapping, because it's their livelihood. It's what they do. A lot of our listeners out there can't afford to do that. You're probably listening to this show on your way to work, on your way home from work. Maybe if you're decompressing from work, just sitting there with a, you know, glass of scotch or whatever the case may be, you know, but you don't have time to sit there and intensely study everything that's going on. So what I like about the situational article that I do is immediately you plant these seeds. And this is something you want to do. You always want to look for these spots that you can, quote unquote, circle and be able to look ahead for. And so I want to mention a few of these here across the NBA and the NHL for this weekend, beginning with tomorrow night's game in the NBA between the Houston Rockets and the Memphis Grizzlies. It doesn't get more obvious than this spot. We're seeing the Warriors taking money here. This number opened 4. It's all the way up to 6 at some shops for Friday night's game between Golden State and Houston. Plays Memphis tomorrow night. Now, the Rockets are coming off of a game against Golden State. They're starting a road trip with this game in Memphis, and it's the 4th game in 5 days for them, 5th in 7 days, and these two teams just met on January 13th. Now, Memphis won that game in Houston, so maybe there's a revenge factor for the Rockets, but I don't think it's nearly enough to overcome what's a very, very difficult spot for them. 3rd game in 4 nights for Memphis, but the back-to-back portion is at home. 4 days off after this one. I'll be curious to see what the number looks like for this game. You know, it certainly looks like Memphis opened a little bit light here tonight as a 6.5 point favorite. They're up to 8 points now. Maybe oddsmakers building in that look ahead factor a little bit. But I mean, Memphis is clearly going to be favored here in this game, and it's really a matter of by how much, but I would have to get a really significant number to be afraid of playing Memphis, because Houston's just in an awful, awful, awful spot. Just a terrible spot. You know, you're going to get very heavy James Harden usage like you usually do. So that's one of those spots that you circle, and you could have circled that one on Sunday like I did when I wrote up this article. And then as long as the line works out for you, then that's something that you definitely want to look at. How about another one here? The Indiana Pacers and the Utah Jazz. This is a traditional fade spot for a road team. Third game in 4 nights for Indiana. They're going to play in the altitude. They're less than a week and a half removed from going to London. So you know, that's kind of tricky too. I mean, if anyone out there has traveled, particularly if they've gone overseas somewhere, you know, it takes a little bit of time to get acclimated back into whatever time zone you're in. But Indiana is kind of bouncing around a little bit here. Now they're out in altitude. That's a really bad spot for the Pacers. So I'll be curious to see how big of a favorite Utah opens in that game. They're taking on money tonight here in Dallas on the road. So it is a back-to-back for the Jazz with travel, but still, it's certainly a better situation for them than it appears to be for the Indiana Pacers. One other game, a couple of games I want to mention here. The Spurs are in Cleveland on Saturday night. No real situational angle in terms of this one, but you look at these two teams, you look at Cleveland, and they haven't worried too much about those quote-unquote big games. But they get the Spurs in town here, and everyone generally tends to get up for the Spurs, two of the most efficient teams in the NBA. I just think this will be a good game to watch, more so than one to have action on. But I think a pretty good game to have action on could be Sunday with Golden State in Orlando. Golden State coming off of a win over Cleveland, a blowout win over Cleveland, very emotional win over Oklahoma City, and then that Houston game that will be played tonight. Those are emotional games. Does Golden State go in on Sunday to Orlando and actually care enough to take it to win the game as a pretty significant road favorite? I don't know. I will say this. I think the spot's very clearly going to be built into the line here. So maybe Golden State favored by 9, 9.5, 10, something like that. In a different situation, they'd probably be a double-digit favorite. But in this particular spot, you have to think oddsmakers may shade this number a little bit in Orlando's favor, simply because this is not a good spot for Golden State at all. Now, if they do lose to Houston on Friday night, maybe there's a little bit of letting out of frustration, so to speak. But, man, that's a really, really difficult spot for Golden State on Sunday afternoon in Orlando. And I think that's one that you certainly need to circle and pay attention to. Moving over to the NHL side of things here, a pretty interesting situation Saturday with Carolina and Columbus. These two teams just played on Tuesday night, and Columbus they played pretty well. This is a Columbus team it's got a very high ceiling all of a sudden. Carolina is getting a lot of respect out there in the betting market. In terms of the advanced statistics community, they rate pretty well. They're getting some love here on Friday night at home against Pittsburgh. This is a spot that I've talked about before, these Friday night Carolina spots, 5-0-1 in these Friday night home games. It's a tough spot for teams because they play Carolina after playing Washington, or they go do the Florida double with the Panthers and the Lightning. Carolina has taken advantage of these spots at home here this year, and it's not really a big surprise to see them as a short underdog taking on some money here on Friday night. But I'll be curious to see what they do Saturday night, going right back to Columbus. Back-to-back with travel. I think you're going to see a big rush to fade Carolina here on Saturday night. And so if you want to wait on this game, I think you get some Carolina value as we get closer to puck drop. But that's always an interesting thing to see how those situations play out when teams play each other in close proximity. St. Louis and Winnipeg on Saturday, 1 p.m. local puck drop in Manitoba for that one. So that's a tricky little situational spot. It's a different thing. Players aren't used to playing early in the day like that. So that's something you'll want to pay attention to here with these weekend games. That's something else that I want to mention here as well, is that you're getting some of these day games now on Sundays, a lot of 3 o'clock Eastern time puck drops. I think there'll be some 12:30 ones too, as we get later into the year here, once we don't have the NFL to worry about, but teams are playing back-to-back day games on Saturdays and Sundays now in the NHL. And generally it's teams that are in big markets, teams that are going to draw in that Sunday time slot. But still, it's a situational angle that you want to pay close attention to in the NHL, because like I said, teams really aren't used to playing these day games. And when they do have to play those day games, can be a little bit challenging, can be hard to get going a little bit, get into the flow of the game. So keep that in mind here for the NHL as we go forward with these weekend matinee games. One more segment here this week on Bang the Book Radio. We're going to bring in a new guest. Very excited about this one. Here's Rob Pizzola from Prediction Machine. Rob, how's it going today, man?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Doing very well. Appreciate your time. I know you've got a lot going on. I know you've had some radio spots here already today, so thank you so much for fitting us in. I guess the first place to start here would be to explain what Prediction Machine is all about.
Yeah, Prediction Machine essentially is just a sports analytics website, and what we do is use data to try to arrive at percentages of probabilities of outcomes of games. And we do this for all the major sports, so the major four across North America, plus college football and college basketball. So essentially, our slogan is we play the game 50,000 times before it's actually played. And that's essentially what we're doing. We run what's called a Monte Carlo simulation, simulate each game 50,000 times, and we use those as our percentages. We then compare those numbers to the sportsbook's numbers, and we find edges on games and use them to bet and make some money. So that's essentially what Prediction Machine is. It's a sports analytics site. It's got a lot more than predictions. We do power rankings. We do season-long forecasts and a whole lot of stuff like that. But, you know, what it comes down to at the end of the day is using numbers and using data to arrive at predicted probabilities on games.
Well, I know that you can't pull back the curtain too much here, but when you talk about using data, using statistics, is it a lot of the traditional stuff that we would expect to see? I mean, does it go as detailed as, you know, certain grades on players, almost like what video games do in terms of applying attributes to different guys? How does that whole simulation process play out?
Yeah, things are done at the player level simply because we also do daily fantasy sports on the website and fantasy sports. And if we didn't do things at the player level, we wouldn't be able to arrive at projections for those players. So we do things at the player level. In terms of the data that we use, what we're using, it's an evolution. It's an evolutionary process. The models change from year to year, and we try to use the most recent data or statistics that are the most highly correlated with success in the various sports that we use. So it all depends on the sport, but we do run the game as if it's actually a game being played, and we do have a lot of different types of data and a bunch of different statistics and metrics that we do use in those simulations.
Now, I know that you're fairly new to Prediction Machine. You're the business manager over there, and that was something that you did last year where you got that position, and I remember sending my congratulations to you, and I'll go ahead and do that over the air here as well. But, you know, as far as how have things gone this year, looking specifically at the NFL, since that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, NFL has, and I'll be completely upfront and transparent, we produced a profit on NFL. It mainly came from betting NFL totals and not from sides. In sides, we were pretty much break even this year, which is surprising because in the past we've been a little bit better. And it's also surprising because technically the sides and the totals should have some correlation. So if you're winning on one, you should technically be winning on the other. But that wasn't the case this year. Obviously, there's a lot of variance in sports and there's a lot of variance in NFL, especially with so few games to pick from each week. But that was the season as a whole. What we also do track is closing line value. That's something that I feel is very important to track. A lot of people track their wins and losses, which is great. Obviously, in the long run, you do want to win on betting sports and have more winners than losers. But one sign of a good model and someone that's going to win long term is if they're consistently getting good closing line value. And when I say that, all I mean is that you're betting the game at a better number than the market closes at. The market is very sharp. It's very efficient for all the major North American leagues. If there's something going on in a game, it will adjust. So the closing number is very accurate in each game. And if you're consistently betting games at a better number than the closing number and lines are moving in your direction, you will win in the long term. And I'm happy that this year the closing line value for Prediction Machine is higher than it's ever been in any other NFL season, despite the lack of success against the spread.
Well, that's a really interesting thing to talk about, because when we look at what's going on here in the sports betting landscape, a lot more people have gotten involved. It's something that, I mean, you see it all the time. You see spreads on the ESPN or the TSN bottom line. You see them in all the mobile apps for scores and all those types of things. So a lot of people are getting really involved here. And I think what we see out there in the betting market is that we're starting to see some more odds maker bias in terms of shading lines because they've got better tracking ability. You know, they have a larger sample size of clients and customers. So would you say that eliminating that bias is probably one of the biggest strengths of Prediction Machine?
Yeah, I would say that's one thing that we do really well. You know, the market is tightening up, and what I've particularly noticed is, you know, whoever is betting overnight limits into the market now, their stuff is very good, and they tend to tighten the numbers very early on in the week as opposed to what used to happen, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, and that's across all the major sports. But I would definitely say that, you know, that is one of the advantages and one of the strengths of what we do as a whole.
Well, let's look at these NFL games here and sort of get some idea of what Prediction Machine is predicting here for these. And you know, obviously you would think, and this is something you know as well as I do, being two people that have been in and around this industry for a long time, you would think that these are the two absolute sharpest numbers of the NFL season, Atlanta -5, New England -6. We'll start with the NFC Championship game here. As I said, Atlanta laying 5 total, one of the highest that we've ever seen for an NFL playoff game. What does the machine have to say?
Yeah, first thing I want to do is sort of dispel this notion of sharps versus public and so on and so forth. If you look at bet percentages on this game, you're going to see that 60-some-odd percent of the tickets that have come in on this game are on Green Bay. So I've done some radio this morning, and I've already heard somebody ask me, is this a trap? Are the sportsbooks trying to bait you into taking Green Bay? And my answer is no, there are no such thing as traps. What's happened is the market has determined that Atlanta should be favored by this much. It's not the sportsbooks that have determined this. They posted their early line, and then the market, you know, people are betting it into place, essentially. Prediction Machine does like the Packers in this game. We'd expect this to be closer to a margin of 3 points than the current spread. You know, a lot of people want to talk about the injuries in the Green Bay secondary, and those are definitely big, but they also have some big advantages as well, and Atlanta's defense is going to have to generate some stops. The big thing here is that the Packers have the best pass protecting offensive line in the entire league, and the Falcons don't have much of a pass rush at all. So we still expect Aaron Rodgers to move the ball, even without Jordy Nelson, who we do account for and who is worth about 0.6 points on average. Devontae Adams banged up fine, but Aaron Rodgers over these last 8 weeks has put together about an 8-week stretch that's tops in NFL history, basically, when you look at 8-game stretches in NFL history. He has been elite. Getting 5.5 points with a quarterback of that magnitude, it's very difficult to pass up, especially since we project Green Bay to score 30 points on average in this game. So we do like the Packers in this game. The total very high at 60 as well, and that's going to scare a lot of people away, but we see this going over as well. We project about 62.5 points in this game. You just look at these teams, and I don't know where the stops are going to come from in this game. We're going to see a lot of scoring, I would assume.
Two things I want to elaborate on that you just mentioned. The first one we'll do relative to the machine, and second we'll do relative to something else you talked about. But you mentioned Jordy Nelson accounted for here in terms of your simulations, accounting for about 0.6 points on the line, as you said. So that's data that you have readily available, you know, based on injuries and that type of thing. Is that available to subscribers, or is that just something that's kind of on the back end?
It's something that's on the back end right now. The way things that are available to subscribers are for fantasy purposes. So if, you know, Jordy Nelson is out, you can pull him out of a lineup, re-simulate a game with him out, and get updated fantasy projections on the rest of the Green Bay wide receivers. We would like to eventually bring this into the fold where you can pull someone out of the lineup, find out his value against the league average defense and against the opponent that week. And when I talk about Jordy Nelson being worth about 0.6 net points, that's against the league average defense, which is pretty much the Falcons. We're just slightly below league average. So it applies to this theory. But, you know, Julio Jones in this game, for example, he'd be worth much more to this collective projection. He'd be worth just over a point, 1.1 net points. You rarely see that from a wide receiver. But if Julio Jones is unable to suit up, which it looks like he will, even with a toe injury, I don't think he's going to miss the game. But just say, you know, by some, you know, imaginary scenario where he couldn't play, he'd be worth 1.1 points. So this is something that we do have on the back end. We can pull any player out of a lineup. Our computer will automatically update the depth charts for the team, re-simulate the game, tell you what their worth is against an average defense, and we could do this at any position.
Well, and of course, that's something that handicappers have always kind of fought with a little bit, is trying to quantify exactly how much a player is worth to the line. And, you know, sometimes it's kind of a more general thing. If you got a quarterback, you know, obviously we know that the best quarterbacks in the league are worth 5, 6, 7 points against the line. Skill position players, much, much more difficult to figure out. And then as you get deeper into the trenches, you know, then that gets even tougher. But the other thing that you mentioned here, and I think this is a really important distinction to make, and I do want to talk about this point, is you said that the market has set the number. And I think that that's something that maybe went over our listeners' heads a little bit, and it was certainly something that I took a little bit of a double take at, even as somebody who knows this industry relatively well. Elaborate a little bit more on what you mean by that.
Yeah, so essentially what's happened here, and I'll use Pinnacle as an example because Pinnacle is the sharpest sports book on the planet, and that's where the majority of sharp players are betting their games. And what happens is a lot of other sports books are just essentially copying Pinnacle's lines as the week goes on. They literally hire odds makers to sit at a computer, refresh Pinnacle, and adjust their lines as Pinnacle adjusts their lines. So Pinnacle opened this game, Atlanta-Green Bay, at Atlanta -4. And what essentially, it's now moved to -5.5. That, you know, the odds makers are only moving that number, those Pinnacle odds makers, based on the action that they're getting on that game. There's no other reason for them moving it. They're not moving it to 5.5 to bait you into taking Green Bay. They're moving it to 5.5 because a lot of money has been placed on the Atlanta Falcons to this point. So that's essentially what I'm saying when the market determines the line in the game. Odds makers are moving their line based on the money that they are getting on the game. And it's not for any other reason. It's, like I said, it's not like they're trying to bait you to take Green Bay. Sure, they probably want you to take Green Bay at this point to possibly balance out some of the action that they have on the game. That could be a case for it. But again, other people's bets are essentially determining what the number arrives at. So that's sort of a, you know, what a lot of people don't understand about this. And they think that these odds makers know something that people don't, that the betting public don't, and that's not true at all. It's skilled bettors that are, you know, determining the lines in these games, and that's across all the major sports. That's basically how the betting market works.
Well, and Rob, as somebody that's followed this market for a long time, and you've seen what's going on with this line, and obviously you know what the simulations that you have over at Prediction Machine are, where do you think that this number closes?
I think it's going to be right around where it is right now, 5.5. I think they, you know, if it gets brought to 6, you're going to see a lot of buyback on Green Bay, with 6 being a bit of a key number in the NFL. So I don't think it'll settle at 6 at any point. If it does get there, it'll come back down. But I think 5 and 5.5 seems like where the market is trending. This is sort of similar to what happened with Dallas and Green Bay last week, where a lot of late money came in on Dallas. I believe Dallas closed as a 6-point favorite in that game. And also with Atlanta and Seattle, where the line trended in Atlanta's favor. So it looks like sharp bettors are high on Atlanta. They're not so high on Green Bay. One of the explanations I can give is basically just look at the injury reports for these teams. If you look at Green Bay's injury report right now, it is huge. They have a lot of issues in the secondary. Morgan Burnett would be a big loss for them this week. He has a quad injury if he can't suit up. Obviously, Jordy Nelson's status. Their center, J.C. Treader, is out as well. There's a lot of injuries for Green Bay, and that definitely, it gets factored into our simulations. We think that maybe the market is overvaluing them a little bit, but at the end of the day, that's what the number is. And I would say that the way that this line has trended, and based on last week's games as well, I'd be surprised if this number comes back down into the 4, 4.5 range.
One other injury from last week that I remember, David Bakhtiari left the game for a little bit, came back, but, you know, obviously another potential injury situation there at left tackle for Green Bay. So that'll be something for them to watch for this week as well. How about the AFC Championship game here? You got Pittsburgh and New England, a couple of very, very public teams. The public loves to back both of them. So in terms of this number, New England laying 6, I guess we'll go to the machine first. How does the machine see this one breaking down?
Yeah, we see New England winning this game by about 4.5 points on average. The Patriots are going to win the game 61% of the time, but the spread play here is on Pittsburgh. It's nothing crazy. In football, you're looking for a 52.4% edge. You know, you need at least 52.4% confidence in a pick to beat the juice, to beat the vig that are set by bookmakers. We have this at about 54%, so that would give you a 1.6% edge on the game. It's nothing crazy, but it's definitely worth a bet on the Steelers. One thing about the Patriots this year is our engine loves the New England Patriots. We think that they're the best team in the league. We think that they're, you know, at least 1.5 points better than any other team in the league on a neutral field. But you look at their schedule this year, and you have to account for that. You know, since Tom Brady has come back from injury, if you look at the quarterbacks that the Patriots have gone up against, I'll rhyme them off really quickly. Cody Kessler, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Andy Dalton, Jared Goff, Landry Jones, Joe Flacco, Tyrod Taylor, Trevor Siemian, Bryce Petty, Colin Kaepernick, and Matt Moore. The only good quarterback that they faced or above average quarterback this season was Russell Wilson, and they lost that game 28-24 at home to the Seahawks. So you definitely have to account for that. I think New England's defensive numbers are very inflated based on the quality of competition that they played this year. They do not have a pass rush. Obviously, Chandler Jones left in the offseason. They traded Jamie Collins midseason. This pass rush ranks just 28th in the league, according to our metrics. That's a problem against a very good Steelers offense. So while we don't expect the Steelers to win the game, we do expect them to hang around. And also, when you do have an offense of this caliber and you're getting 6 points, you also have the potential for the backdoor cover. And that goes for both games, the Green Bay-Atlanta game as well. So we do like the Steelers. We are riding both underdogs this weekend.
So you mentioned that laundry list of quarterbacks that New England's faced, and it kind of sounds like it would be a list of Browns quarterbacks since they came back in 1999 because of the level of quality there. Is that something that the simulator accounts for?
Yes, we do. But it's more taken to, it's in the strength of schedule more than anything else. So it's not accounted for, you know, in terms of the individual quarterbacks that they faced, more the teams. And the teams on the day, the quarterback that was playing for the team on the day that they played that game. So when you do look at it, New England's had a fairly easy schedule this year as an entire whole, whereas Pittsburgh's played a tougher schedule. They've played some tougher quarterbacks. And they've also improved, you know, a lot on defense in the second half of the year. Pittsburgh's won 9 straight games. You look at that 9-game winning streak, they've allowed just an average of 16.5 points per game. They've graded as a top-5 run defense and a top-5 pass rush across the league in that span. In fact, if you actually look at Pro Football Focus's grades on players, all 11 Steelers starters on defense have graded as above average on defense this season. So this is a team that's really flying under the radar defensively. You think of the Steelers, you think of Roethlisberger, Brown, Le'Veon Bell. That's great, and they have a lot of weapons on offense, but the defense also getting a lot better as the year has gone on. And what do we know about the Patriots? We saw it last week against the Texans as well. When you can generate a pass rush against New England without blitzing, they're going to struggle to move the ball. And we saw that in the first half a lot last week against Houston. Pittsburgh's been doing that a lot in the second half of the season as well. So it wouldn't surprise me to see them disrupt Brady a little bit. That's another factor that plays into our simulation, another reason that we do like Pittsburgh getting the points here.
Out of curiosity on both of these games, and obviously this is a pretty big component, pretty big factor in the lines, what are you giving for home field advantage at the Georgia Dome and then up at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough?
Yeah, so it's calculated in our engine, and I actually don't even see what the home field advantage is on the game, but I can estimate what it is just based on our power rankings, you know, for teams on neutral fields. We're basically giving the Falcons just under a 3-point home field advantage. It's approximately 2.7 points, and the Patriots would be somewhere around, it looks like, just over 3.3 to 3.4 points. And again, that's not something that I input myself. It's calculated by the simulation engine when we do run the games. It takes into account the weather, the time of the year, and obviously, you know, the team that's playing at home.
Well, and of course, I mean, because, you know, there's that reputation of Tom Brady playing at home in the playoffs, and, you know, that's something that that a lot of players will overblow here this time of year. So something that I definitely wanted to make sure I made mention of. How about the total in this game? Because I think the total is kind of a difficult thing to handicap, maybe the most difficult thing to handicap here about this weekend, because you've got Pittsburgh that can ground and pound it with Le'Veon Bell. They can also play that possession game with Bell and Brown in the wide receiving core. And then, you know, you've got New England, who always methodical, not a ton of really big plays. They had some chunk plays last week against Houston. How is the simulator seeing this total of 50?
Yeah, so we project the final score to be roughly 28-24 in favor of New England. So we project about 52 points in this game on average. That would be a slight lean to the over. It's not nothing that's crazy playable, but if we were to suggest a play, it would be on the over in this game. You know, the one thing people talk about is how, you know, Pittsburgh struggled to score touchdowns against Kansas City last week. I would tell you that the Chiefs' defense, despite, you know, statistically speaking, looking very similar to New England this year, Kansas City played a much tougher schedule, much tougher opponents, and as I mentioned, the New England quarterbacks as well. Pittsburgh will probably score a lot more touchdowns in the red zone this week than they did last week, settling for 6 field goals. They move the ball consistently from 20-20 against a very good defense. They should have some success again. Cold weather does play a factor later in the year, but it's not as much of a factor as I think people think. And it's really not calling for horrible conditions in New England this weekend, at least not the last weather report that I checked as well. So as long as there's no strong winds, I'd advise a small play on the over. But again, it's not nothing that it's not something that I would say, you know, invest a lot of money in this weekend. I'd much prefer betting the Steelers plus six.
Well, hopefully we can get you back on the show again next week. But before we do that, how are things looking in terms of a look ahead for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, the Super Bowl, New England's going to be favored. If they do beat Pittsburgh, New England will be a favorite. We're looking at probably, if I had to speculate, a 3 to 3.5 point favorite over Atlanta, and probably about a 4 to 4.5 point favorite over Green Bay on a neutral field. I say that just based on the lines that I'm looking at right now for this week. Pittsburgh against Green Bay or Atlanta, that'll be a much closer point spread. It'll be in a pick 'em range. I would suggest that Atlanta would be a small favorite over Pittsburgh, whereas Pittsburgh would be a small favorite over Green Bay, but nothing crazy. I don't think you'd see it more than 1 to 1.5 points in either direction.
Before we step away from what Prediction Machine can do and sort of look more at your personal handicapping, and like I told you, I'd like to focus a little bit more on the NHL side of it here for this segment, what are some of the packages, some of the things that are available to our listeners over there at Prediction Machine?
Yeah, so we do sell picks packages. That's one thing that we, it's our main source of subscriptions. With the picks packages, you get the plays that we have and our full simulations on every game, including box scores. You also get access to something that we call the play analyzer, and this allows you to rerun the games at the lines that your sportsbook is offering. So if we were to release, for example, the Steelers plus six this week, and by Sunday that line is down to 4, you can then rerun the game and it'll spit out your new edge at the plus 4. It'll tell you whether it's worth a bet or not at that number. So that's one thing that we have. We also have access to our Predictilator, which means that you can run any game at any time using our numbers with access to the site as well. So we do have picks packages. It includes some other stuff like that. And we also do have daily fantasy packages, which is very tied to our picks packages. Our box scores are updated. And we have an optimizer where you can basically plug in players that you want to play, and we can give you a lineup for daily fantasy. You can use our suggested lineups. There's a whole lot of tools that you can use for fantasy. For people that aren't registered to the site, aren't subscribed to the site, you can still register for a free account. There's lots of access on the site for free members. We do have power rankings that are available, full season projections. We do content that is available to anyone. So you don't have to actually subscribe and pay any money if you don't want to. There's a lot of good stuff on the site for people that just register and want to just see stuff on a weekly basis.
And that's over at predictionmachine.com and then at predictmachine on Twitter. But Rob, let's talk a little bit about your personal background here in terms of being a handicapper and a sports bettor. And, I know you and I have had a lot of chats on Twitter about a lot of the analytics based things, more so for baseball. I'm not as much into it for the NHL as of yet, but I know that it's something that you really subscribe to, something that you believe in. In terms of the NHL, for some of our listeners out there that may be looking to attack this market, which realistically speaking, out of the major markets, it should be one of the better ones to get involved in because there's just not as much interest and not as big of a betting handle into it. What would sort of be your starting point in your mind?
Yeah, I would say you want to look into advanced metrics. And what people get lost in all the time is wins and losses and, goals for and goals against from the past, but these are not predictive stats of the future. And I'll just put something into perspective here. I'll use a real-life example. Today, a game between Boston and Chicago, Boston opened as a minus 130 favorite. That number's up to minus 170, and I'm in a Twitter group chat where people are very confused as to how this could possibly be the case. Why is Boston, who is barely a fringe playoff team right now, favored 70 cents at home against the Chicago Blackhawks? Well, there's a number of reasons for it, and when you dig deeper into the numbers, you'll uncover some things that are very unsettling about Chicago. Their last 25 games, at even strength, they have just 44% scoring chances for. That means that for every 44 scoring chances they're creating at even strength, they're giving up 56, which is a staggeringly bad number. It's only better than Arizona and Colorado, who are the two worst teams in hockey right now. So there are a lot of red flags with Chicago. Whereas Boston, on the other hand, they're creating 54% chances in their last 25 games. Their possession numbers are very good. In their last 25 games, they have a 56% Corsi at even strength, meaning for every 56 shots they put on net, they only allow 44. And in the long run, those are metrics that matter in the league. You want to look at shot attempts. You want to look at scoring chances. You want to look at teams that have unsustainably high or low shooting percentages. For example, Boston having a 6.1% shooting percentage this season, that's a historically low number, and it probably won't last. There's a good chance that they'll start shooting better as the year goes on. So I'm just saying, dig deep into games. And this doesn't only apply to NHL. It works really well with NHL, but it applies across all sports, really. You're looking for numbers that may not pop out right away to you when you're looking at a box score of a game. But, you know, there are metrics available online. There are a lot of good websites that you can check out that do have this data, and I would strongly urge people to use this data because it gives you an edge. It gives you an edge over anyone who's just looking at, you know, a team in the last five games and their win-loss records, a lot of stuff that's largely irrelevant.
Yeah, for lack of a better term, I pretty much refer to it as regression analysis handicapping, and that's something I like to do in baseball. I know you're a big sabermetrics guy too, and I mean, I love that about you because I think that that's the way that you want to handicap. You want to make sure that you're looking at situational spots and all these types of things, but also, you know, the numbers are the facts. Everything else is just kind of opinion, conjecture, however you want to refer to it. But one of the most frustrating things about it, you know this as well as I do, with the way that you were looking to fade the Texas Rangers last year, the problem is trying to pinpoint these spots where these things actually happen the way that they're supposed to.
Yeah, you know, it's difficult for sure, and I'm a high-volume player. I'll bet anywhere I see an edge, and a lot of people will tell you, no, you have to limit the amount of games that you bet, and that's a bad strategy. If you have an edge, you should play it, regardless of the number of games that you're playing in a day. I wouldn't advise it to a beginning handicapper. I tell them to be a little bit more selective. But as you've, you know, honed in on your process and your process gets better, I suggest betting those edges. It didn't work out with the Texas Rangers last year, and I'll gladly admit that. Do I feel like I was on the right side of those games? Yes, I do. Again, going back to the first topic I mentioned today was closing line value. But if you notice the way that those lines were trending, if you bet against Texas in the morning, you probably got a really good number by game time because the market was dictating that Texas was an overvalued team. It didn't work out. There is variance in sports. That's always going to be the case, and there are going to be times where it doesn't work out. But more often than not, if you stick to that process and you're using, you're using numbers that are of value, you're going to win long term. And I'll tell you this: you know, you talk about your regression-based analysis, but that's very much how the betting market is. You know, the sharpest players in the betting market are running these games, and you just want to be on the right side of those, basically.
So in terms of looking at the NHL as a whole, I mean, there's another interesting line move here tonight with Pittsburgh, who opened in the minus 130, minus 135 range, and it looks like there's a chance Carolina may close the favorite if things keep trending the way that they're going at home. But in terms of looking at the weekend, maybe the next couple of weeks, something like that, as a parting thought for our listeners here, are there a couple of NHL teams you think are in line for some positive regression and then some where the bottom may fall out a little bit?
Yeah, I'm trying to pinpoint teams right now, and one thing I'll say that's very specific to NHL is that you should always keep an eye on injuries because they matter heavily in certain sports. You look at a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning right now, they're basically down Steven Stamkos, who's one of their top forwards, Victor Hedman, who's one of their top defensemen, and they've lost a lot of depth at forward as well. So you always have to monitor injuries, and this is going to affect your playing on the NHL. If I'm to pinpoint certain teams right now for regression, I would say Chicago is going to suffer some negative regression for all the reasons that I talked about earlier. In fact, I would say Boston is going to have some positive regression. They happen to play tonight, so I hope I'm right on that one and Boston wins. But looking at teams near the top of the standings right now and at the bottom of the standings, there's not a lot I see where a team is undeserving. I would say one more team to keep an eye on for some negative regression would be the Ottawa Senators, who are basically, according to my power rankings as of now, the 24th best team in the league, but somehow they continue to win and continue to win. I would liken them to being the Texas Rangers of the NHL at the moment. They're doing it with smoke and mirrors. They've had a fairly easy schedule in terms of their games are very spaced out. You look at the NHL thus far, Boston has played 48 games, and going into last night, Ottawa had played 42. And what that creates is a lot of back-to-backs and 3 and 4 nights for Boston, tough scheduling spots, whereas Ottawa's had a lot of rest between games. That's going to shift in the second half of the year when Ottawa has to play a lot more games. So that's something to keep an eye on. Teams that have had easy schedules in the first half of the year, Ottawa being one of those proponents right there.
You mentioned a few websites, or you mentioned that there are a few websites out there to get some of this data. Excuse me. Do you have any that you would suggest to our listeners for, you know, more of a basic introductory type of thing?
Yeah, just for pure data, there's a website called Corsica, Corsica. That's a great site in terms of data. There's another one called Puckalytics. That's a great site in terms of data. And then just, you know, follow me on Twitter, and every once in a while I'll tweet out my good hockey follows, but there's a lot of great hockey follows on Twitter. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the expected goal charts in soccer that a lot of analytics guys do, which is basically what a team should be expected to score based on the shots that they had on the pitch. Those are starting to be developed for hockey right now as well, which is great, and I love following those because they paint a better picture of what should have happened in a game based on shot location and shot types. So there's a lot of advancements being made in hockey analytics right now. It's actually a very exciting time for me. But follow me on Twitter. I do retweet a lot of that stuff. And then obviously you can go ahead and follow all those guys that are producing that content altogether. There's just too many for me to name right now, and I can't do them off the top of my head. But Corsica and Puckalytics, for those people that are looking to just, you know, get started with some advanced NHL data.
As Rob said, follow him on Twitter at Rob Pizzola, P-I-Z-Z-O-L-A. Rob, thank you so much for joining us, man. Really appreciate it. Hopefully we can make this a weekly thing, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, sounds good, guys. Would love to make it a weekly thing. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Great stuff there from Rob Pizzola of Prediction Machine. Covered a lot of stuff there in a very short amount of time. And like I said, he has a phenomenal understanding of the sports betting markets. So hopefully we can get him to do this week after week. And I think that would be something that would be really, really exceptional for our listeners. Coming up on our Monday show, as far as I know, should be able to get Joe Everett of NFL Draft Bible for our NFL Week in Review and Super Bowl 51 preview. We'll start to break down some of the matchups with Joe for that game coming up in Houston. And then also second half of that show, our Handicapping the Hardwood segment with Kyle Hunter of huntersportspicks.com. Go over a lot of college basketball stuff. Look ahead to his premium look ahead of the week and a lot of other different things there with him. So that'll do it for me. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Have a happy, smart, safe weekend. Enjoy the conference championship games. I will talk to you again on Monday.